Welcome, friends, people of God. If I can, I'd like to call you to worship today. To call your minds and your hearts and your bodies to worship the living God today. From Psalm 66, just a few verses here. It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. And say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. And all the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to you in your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome and mighty deeds toward the children of God. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the foot, the river with on foot. There they did their rejoicing in him. This is the Lord who rules forever. This is a psalm of remembrance of the awesome deeds of God, taking the people of God through the flood and through the fire. His steadfast love never left, and his steadfast love will never leave us. Through the fire we will go, through the flood we will go. So we stand in the place of worship today, friends. We stand here boldly praising God for his faithfulness, for his steadfast love has never left us. So we bring you an offering today, God. We bring it all to you, Jesus. Glory to your name.
This is my revelation, Christ Jesus crucified. Salvation through repentance at the cross on which he died. Now hear my absolution, forgiveness for my sin. Oh.
Psalm 66, like I read in the beginning of the service, says, make his praise glorious. Oh God, because you are glorious. Almighty God, we come as one people, worshiping you, our one God. There's no greater delight. This is no sacrifice. It is easy to worship you, Lord, for all that you have done, the mighty deeds of our God. How we love you. How we love you. Come on, people, reach out to the Lord. Reach out to the Lord. Sing up from the ashes.
Sing up from the ashes. Your love has brought us out of the darkness and into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts.
To our God we lift up one voice.
To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. We're singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. Singing hallelujah.
Yeah. We look to you, Lord. We sing hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Chains have been broken.
Some chains have been broken, eyes have been opened, an army of dry bones is starting to rise.
Death is defeated.
We are victorious. You are alive.
Oh, to our God, to our God, we lift up.
His name is glorious.
glorious, glorious. Come on, take it up.
And make his miracle.
Blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy of
on with faith.
Do you feel the world is broken?
See, we do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation growing?
Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be alive within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave.
Cross, Jesus declares, it is finished. And at the end of history, the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And the voice from the throne says, it is done. The it is finished of Jesus from the cross is matched by the it is done by the voice from the throne at the end of history. And the voice says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And if anybody is thirsty, let him come and let him drink the free gift of the water of life. Brothers and sisters, our lives are enclosed within the reality of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, okay? It is finished. It is done. And there is, I was thinking as we were worshiping this morning, that for me there is no more comforting thought in Christianity than that thought. The thought that it is finished. It is done. That there is nothing that I can do that will add to the work of God because it is complete. What I need to do is relax into the work of God. Settle into the work of God. And there's something about that. If you let that reality get down into your bones, get down into your heart, it will make you bold. It will make you brave. And wherever the people of God have confessed Jesus as Lord around the world, down through the centuries, his love has made them bold. It's made them brave because they understand that their lives are hidden with Christ in God, as Paul says, tucked inside the reality of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means that we have everything to hope for. And we have nothing to fear as our lives are tucked into God. And as we prepare this morning to receive our tithes and offerings, I can do no better for you than to commend to you the words of our Lord Jesus, Matthew 6 and verse 25. The Lord Jesus who says it is finished, the Lord Jesus who says it is done, says this to us. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're gonna eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, he says. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And he goes on at the end and he says, so this is what you're gonna do. You can't add any time to your life, and you can't, your worry is not fixing anything. This is what you're gonna do. He says, you're gonna seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added to you as well. Don't you understand, brothers and sisters? Your Father loves you. Jesus died for you. The Spirit is filling you, and that means that everything is provided for. And so when you let that settle down into your heart, what it does is it makes you brave and it makes you bold and it makes you open-handed. And I commend that to you this morning, that you'd relax into the love of God and let the love of God compel your giving. So Lord Jesus, here we are before you. Everything that we are and everything that we have belongs to you. And what we're asking is that you, the one who was raised from the dead, that you would take our little lives, that you would bless them and break them, that you'd use them to feed the multitudes, that you'd make our lives more, that you'd make the gifts that we give this morning, that you'd make them a blessing to the nations. We ask that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. We pray that through these gifts that you would cause others to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their eyes would be open and their ears would be open and their hearts would come alive to your presence. We ask that the naked would be clothed and that the hungry would be fed. We're asking the blind eyes would open. Let your kingdom come. Through it all, we're praying. Make us brave. Make us bold to throw ourselves into the mission of God. We're asking that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Four ways to give, three ways to give. Actually, you're watching online. You can text to give, you can give online, or you can mail in your offering this morning. The address is at the bottom of the screen. Let's continue to worship as we give this morning.
Oh, he is. Come on, let's sing that. Just he is.
He is. He is worthy.
He is worthy.
He is.
Come on.
He is.
Oh, let the worship rise up. More faith, more sound. Oh, an eruption of praise. Oh, God, there he is. Come on. Yes, oh God. I don't think there's a sweeter sound in all the earth than the praises of God and the people of God singing songs of faith. We must keep singing, friends. We must keep singing through it, through the fire, through the flood. We must keep on singing. He has brought the people of God through before. He will do it again. That is what we know as people of God, as believers in the name of Jesus. Friends, prepare your hearts for the word of God, the scriptures to be opened by Pastor Brady Boy today. The Lord has so much for us. Lean in, press in, grab those Bibles, grab those notebooks. Grace and peace.
Good morning, everyone. We are so grateful that you have joined us here on our online broadcast. Maybe you're watching on Facebook. We're so grateful that you're still hosting Facebook watch parties. Maybe you have subscribed and you're watching right now on the YouTube channel, New Life Church YouTube channel. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for participating in that place. Or maybe you are on newlifechurch.org. We're grateful that you found our website. Or maybe you're watching locally on KRDO, Channel 13. We're grateful that if you're watching across the Front Range of the Rockies, that this service has come into your home or your apartment. Maybe you're watching on your TV, on your tablet. But however you found us, we're grateful to be a part of your lives. Thank you for welcoming in the worship, the prayers, and the scriptures into your life today. And I just want to encourage you, for some of you, you may be ready to venture out and to be a part of a live gathering. And so if you live in Colorado Springs, we have weekly services now that you can attend in person. We have a Thursday night service at 6:30, so maybe you're going to be gone for the weekend. Then you can come on Thursday night, and Pastor Andrew Arndt and the team here will do a fantastic job. Friday night at 6:30 with Pastor Daniel Grothy is a great opportunity for you to worship before the weekend. Or if you're here on Sunday, we have a 9 a.m., an 11 a.m., and a 5 p.m. The 5 p.m. service is our New Life Downtown team with Pastor Glenn Packiam. So all of those are five weekend services. And I know many of you have asked, like, well, when are you going to open up children's ministry? Well, I have a couple of updates for you. Number one, we are working feverishly, no pun intended, but we are working feverishly to get the building ready. Now, we have a lot of kids that come on a normal Sunday, so we're trying to make sure that we're taking all the safety precautions. But also, many of you may not know this, but we are remodeling our children's space right now. So we took advantage of the building being empty to do some much-needed updates and repairs, and a couple of those things have been delayed, so it kind of delayed how we could start children's ministry. But very soon, I will be announcing to you that we're going to open up some children's ministry here at New Life Church and get back to some form of normalcy for the families that attend our church. So that's the update I want to give you, all right? All right, open up your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, I think this is the eighth weekend that we've been walking through this beautiful book of James. It's one of the earliest books written in the New Testament. I don't know if you know that. Some people believe it was the very first book ever written of the books in the New Testament. And James knew Jesus really well. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine growing up with a brother who never sinned? Can you imagine the envy, the jealousy that James must have had, his brother that never got it wrong? Maybe you have a sibling like that that never got it wrong. Well, James grew up with the perfect brother. And I'm sure there was a little bit of resentment. In fact, most people believe that James really didn't begin following Jesus as the Messiah until after the resurrection of Jesus. So even James, the half-brother of Jesus, it took him a while to believe and understand. I just want to say to you, maybe you're watching on the broadcast, and maybe you're having a hard time believing everything. Maybe you have some uncertainty. Maybe you have some doubt. I want to tell you something. That's okay. We are grateful that you're here with us exploring faith, that you're exploring the person of Jesus. And so we want you to know that we're committed to walking on the long path with you. If there are questions or things or doubts or concerns that you're having in your life, I just want to remind you that James, the half-brother of Jesus, has some of those same concerns, that he ended up believing that Christ indeed was the Messiah, the resurrected one, and he wrote this beautiful book for us. So today, I want to talk to you about coming near to God. What does it mean to come near to God, for our lives to come closer to God? James is about to give us some really intense scriptures here. In fact, he packs a lot into these four scriptures that we're going to read today. James chapter 4. Let's start reading at verse 7. Let's pray together before we dive in. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your word is living and active, powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, we give you permission today to take these holy scriptures and to change us, to shape us, to form us, to convince us, to lead us. We give you permission today to do that work as we read these scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a powerful, powerful promise. Verse 8, come near to God, and he in turn will come near to you. And this is the promise, by the way, for every single human being. There are no exclusions here. Come near to God, he'll come near to you. Wash your hands. I love this because it thinks like James is looking ahead to 2020, and he has one of the most powerful prophetic scriptures for us here in 2020. Wash your hands, you sinners. For those of you who have dirty hands, you're sinning, all right? Wash your hands and purify your heart, you double-minded. Actually, he's talking about going through the process of getting yourself ready for worship, but I thought that's funny. Verse 9, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. But look at verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and in that moment, if you humble yourselves before the Lord, he will lift you up. I love how he starts this off. He says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. And this is the tension that we find ourselves in every second of every day. All of us have to decide who we're going to follow and who we're going to resist. James says that there's this tension built into our daily lives. Like, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, I realized that I was submitting to fried chicken a lot more than I was submitting to salad. So I had to start submitting to good food and resisting bad food. And I'm just telling you, this is, I know it's a funny thing, but every day we have to decide who is Lord of our lives. We have to decide who is going to influence our behavior. Who are we going to allow in, and what are we going to push away from us? It's a decision every single human being has to make. And literally, it's hour by hour. The temptations to believe the wrong things and the invitation to follow the right things is always right in front of us. Peter himself, Peter, who was a follower of Jesus, says it this way. First Peter 5, verse 8, 9, he says, be alert and of a sober mind. In other words, keep your mind clear. Keep your ability to think clear. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Leave that up just for a moment, because I grew up and I heard pastors say, yeah, but the lion doesn't have any teeth. Actually, the lion does have teeth. If he can devour you, he is not a toothless lion. Peter says, listen, this lion is fierce. The lion wants to kill. But go to verse 9 now. He says, but resist him. James, the brother of Jesus, says, resist him. Peter said, when you find yourself staring at an enemy that wants to take you out, resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. What it comes down to really is knowing what you're going to pay attention to and what you're going to neglect. The lion feasts on the good things that we neglect. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you neglect your marriage, the enemy will feast on it. If you neglect your marriage, Pam and I have been married almost 31 years, and we are very aware, even after 31 years of semi-glorious marriage, after 31 years of trial and error, every day has not been perfect. Not every week has been perfect. But we're very aware that if we neglect our relationship, the enemy, the enemy of our soul wants to feast on our marriage. Every good marriage happens because two people paid attention to their relationship. If you neglect your children, the lion will feast on them. I believe but for especially parents of teenagers, let me encourage you with something, that when your kids get older, they actually need you more than they did when they were younger. And for parents of teenagers, oftentimes we give them a lot of freedom, we release them into the world, and we should do those things, but that does not mean we are neglecting them. No, you neglect them, the lion feasts. If you neglect your finances, the lion will feast on it. Pay attention to how we're giving our money, how we're stewarding our money. And when we pay attention, the Lord blesses it. When we neglect it, the enemy feasts on it. In fact, here's what I want you to remember. Staying alert is most of the battle. Keeping your eyes open. James says, be alert. Peter says, stay alert. Know that you have an enemy that wishes to kill and destroy, but you have a God that wishes to draw you close. You have a God that wants to come near to you. You have a God that wants to bless you. You have an enemy that wants to disperse you and destroy you. So we submit ourselves to the God who wants to bless us, and we resist the very thing that wants to destroy us. And I love what he says here. Not only do we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he says, come near to God. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about several things, but he's talking about worship. He's talking about coming close to God. We just did that. You may wonder, maybe you're brand new to Christianity, and you go, why are they singing all those songs? And they seem really passionate about the way they sing. We're just not singing songs out of rote or routine or out of some kind of tradition. If you notice that when we were singing those songs a moment ago, we were singing with all of our hearts, all of our souls. There was something happening here in our hearts. We have discovered that worship opens up the door for us to come close. God is actually, through worship, inviting us into his presence, inviting us to come near to him. And worship is warfare. You may wonder why James and says, resist the devil, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and come near to me. Well, I believe one of the ways that we resist the temptations of the world that's around us is by coming into the presence of God through worship. Worship at its purest is warfare. Worship is a protest. If you notice, one of the things I've been paying attention to in the last few weeks is how powerful it is for hundreds of people to walk down a street. Think about what's happening in the world around us right now. Hundreds, if not thousands of people who have seen injustice, raise their voices together. They walk peacefully down the street. Now, I'm not talking about all the shenanigans of looting and rioting. I'm not talking about all that. That's not helping anything. But I'm talking about people who see injustice, people who have discovered that the world is not right, and they have joined together, thousands of them, peacefully, lawfully walk down the streets of our city raising their voices. That calls attention to something. See, what's happening in the church right now, when we gather together in the local church and we lift our voices in song and in prayer and in scripture, we're calling attention to something. We're doing battle. In fact, every church service should be a peaceful protest. This is what's happening in the church right now. We're peacefully protesting something. What we're saying is, it's not always going to be this way. We believe the world can be better. We believe Christ the King actually has the power and the authority to change the world. And so the reason we're singing, the reason we're worshiping, is that we're calling attention to the world is broken. The world is broken. But we have a King that's going to make all things good again and right again. And this is why I believe worship is still a personal decision. You have to decide to worship. You have to make up your mind to worship. Let me just be very candid with you. I walked in this morning a little tired, a little distracted, I got a lot going on in my personal life right now, but I made up my mind this morning when I walked in here that I was going to do battle, that I was going to protest. And even when I didn't feel like it, even when I didn't have all the feels about me, I'm still made up my mind that I was going to worship. I decided to lift my voice. I decided to raise my hands. I decided to clap. I decided to bow down and worship. I decided, because I believe when I make that decision, I believe I'm entering into a battle that has already been won. I believe I'm entering in. And I believe also that worship, when we do this properly, when we come before God, that worship actually becomes a prophetic announcement. It's not always going to look like this. It's not always going to be like this. I was reading this morning. Let me just read one psalm to you. This is Psalm 89. I don't know if you've noticed that when we begin most of our worship services, Pastor John, Pastor Micah, some of the others will read out of the Psalms. Almost every time we read a psalm to start the worship service. It's because we're reminding ourselves for the last 3,000 or 4,000 years of human history that we have a story, that we're part of a story that's already begun, and we already know how it's going to end. And so we find ourselves in the middle of this story. We're playing our part in the great drama of the universe right now. And so oftentimes we'll find ourselves reading from the prayer book, the hymn book, the psalm book. So Psalm 89, verse 1 and 2, I found myself this morning proclaiming prophetically what I believe about the world. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. Even when I don't feel like I'm living in a world that's surrounded by love, I declare your love, oh God, stands firm forever. When people's love proves that it won't stop, that people's love proves faithless, when the world's love seems thin and faithless, I declare your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You see, this is the moment where we decide not only are we coming near to God, we're now lending our voice to what God wants to say to all the earth. Listen, you know what the plan of God has been from the beginning? To use my voice and your voice to declare his goodness to a world that needs goodness. To declare God's love to a world that is so hungry for real love. We use our voice to declare hope to a world that feels very hopeless. We're here today to lift our voice, to declare, to proclaim, to prophesy to a world that God has come near to them and we can come near to him. Worship allows us to sing about the morning while living at midnight. We can sing about the morning while living at a very dark place. All this week, I've been on the phone with pastors and leaders around the country, and this is happening not only in America, but this is the feeling around the world, is that we're living at a very dark time. We're living at a time where evil seems to be present with us in a way that maybe many of you have not ever experienced. I just want to encourage you that we have a choice right now to cower down to the darkness or to stand up and proclaim that the light of the world has come and his name is Jesus. And the darkness will never overtake the light. Worship allows us to proclaim something that does not seem evident. There seems to be no evidence of light around us, but we're proclaiming that Jesus has come, that he went to the grave, and after 3 days he was resurrected and he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. We can sing about the morning while living at the darkest times in our human history. And we worship what we welcome. Whatever you're welcoming into your life right now, you're going to end up worshiping it. We worship what we welcome. I told you that 3 or 4 years ago, when I turned 50 years old, I'll never forget it. On my birthday, my 50th birthday, the Lord asked me a question. I remember waking up really early, realizing I'm 50 years old. I know I don't look 50. Thank you for believing that about me. But I am. I'm 53, actually. But on my 50th birthday, the Lord said to me, he said, Brady, what do you want? What do you want? And I remember saying very clearly to him, I want to live the rest of my days in your presence. I didn't ask him for riches. I didn't ask him for fame. I didn't ask him for any of those things. I said, I want to live my life in your presence. And at the end of my life, I want to be fully alive with God, and I want to be fully human. I don't want to lose my sense of humanity. I want to be close to you. I want to draw near to you. And the Lord reminded me of a three-word prayer that we've been praying around New Life Church now for several years. It's a three-word prayer that the early church realized was powerful. It was a way of welcoming the right things into our lives. And so we've been praying this three-word prayer, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. How do you resist the enemy? How do you draw near to God? How do you submit yourself to God while resisting the enemy? You can only do it by the work of the Holy Spirit. I am not here today to tell you that anything I've said can be done because of human strength. You can't come near to God. You can't resist the enemy on your own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is what makes it possible. We can come close to God. We can resist the enemy because of the power and the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at verse 10 in James 4. The last thing he said was, humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And I believe that humility is really simple to define. Humility is trust. Humility comes, the reason I can humble myself. In other words, the reason a little child can come before his mom and dad and realize that mom and dad have everything he needs and allow himself to be picked up by his parents, surrender himself to his parents, is because there's this built-in trust. Little children, they trust their parents. So when Jesus says, you've got to come to me like a little child, you've got to come to me like a baby, a child. You've got to come to me asking for your daily bread. What Jesus was saying was, trust me the way a small child, the way a toddler trusts his mom and dad. That's the way we've got to come before God. And it causes us to be humble before him, to take the low seat in front of him and lift up our hands to God. Father, I come near to you. And the reason I can come near to you, the reason that I can resist the enemy, is because I trust you. I trust your goodness. I trust your goodness. See, God's not a formula to figure out, but a God who can be trusted. We can trust this God. And why can we trust him? Let me tell you why we can trust him. I want to read this to you before we come to the Lord's table. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The reason I can come near to him and the reason I can resist the work of the enemy is because the cross proved that Jesus was King. The empty tomb proved that Jesus was King. The cross was the ultimate surrender. Can I pray for you? Father in heaven, we come now to the table of the Lord. And we confess, Lord, that we have failed to come near to you. But you're inviting us now to come close to you. You're inviting us to come near to you. You're inviting us to submit to you and resist the enemy, to come near to God, to humble ourselves before God. So, Father in heaven, we come today to humble ourselves, to admit that we cannot do this on our own, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and that every day there's a battle raging all around us. And Lord, we choose today, I choose, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Christ is King. Christ is the resurrected one. Christ is the reigning one. And Father, we put our hope and our trust in the person of Christ. If you're watching today, maybe you've never prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray a very simple prayer with me. Father in heaven, I am lost. I need you. I repent. I come close to you. I choose Jesus as Lord. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a song now, and in just a moment, we're going to come to the table of the Lord. Maybe you're in your home or apartment. Grab some bread and juice, and in just a moment, we're going to come to the table of the Lord and pray together one more time. If you're sitting in your house right now, stand. Let's worship together. Let's sing this song together, and let's get ready to come to the table of the Lord.
Strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear.
You are working in our waiting.
You are working in our waiting. Sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. You planned us still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Oh, you're sovereign over us. Oh, oh, faithful Father. Oh, faithful Father.
We have a chance here to practice what we've just been taught. Draw near to God, and He will draw near unto you. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. And one of the things that the New Testament insists is that when we come to the table of the Lord, that we don't come in a casual or a cavalier way, but we come with our heart braced for this moment, ready to stand on holy ground with the holy God. Paul's way of saying it is, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That what we're trying to do is we're trying to put ourselves into a place where the fear of God can steal into our hearts again. And so with that in your heart, I just want to invite you into a moment of examination, of reflection, of repentance, of drawing near to God in your own way and with your own words. Just begin to stir up confession before the Lord. And what I say when I start coming to the table is I say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I confess before you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by the things that I've done, sins of commission, and also by the things that I've left undone, sins of omission. I haven't loved you with my whole heart, and I haven't loved my neighbors as myself, and I'm truly sorry, God, and I humbly repent, and I say, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me and forgive me, that I may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. That's what we're saying before you here, Lord Jesus. We're saying that just as Pastor Brady taught, we can't do this on our own. We need you, and we haven't done a very good job in our own strength. And so we're humbling ourselves before you, and we're asking that your life would come and fill us this morning as we come to the table. We're not coming casually, and we're not coming cavalier, but we're coming with reverence in our heart. And so, brothers and sisters, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it, gave thanks for it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. The body of Christ broken for us. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, drink from this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. Do it whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ poured out for us. Let's take it together. And we thank you for the life of God, Lord Jesus, that now is coming to us. As you go from this place, brothers and sisters, I say over you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're so grateful that you were a part of today's broadcast. We hope that the message and the songs and the prayers and scriptures that you heard are encouraging to you. Next week, we want you to join us right here in the same place. Come be a part of the worship service every single week. We're grateful that you're a part of this, and we hope to see you soon. Have a great week.